The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
What a world! Welcome all to another episode of The Ocho, presented to you in partnership, as always, with SB Nation's blog and theboys.com. My name, RJ Ochoa. You know me, of course, from BTB and from Radio, as your humble host on The Ocho. It is Thursday, June 23rd, 2022. We hope all is well wherever you are. We hope you're happy, safe, healthy, and shout out to the Houston Astros for sweeping the New York Mets. I know it's only a two-game series, but still a sweep is a sweep. A series is a series. Astros just taking care of all the New York teams starting tonight. Cannot wait to see them in the concrete jungle where dreams are made of. But different subject there. We're here to talk about football and here to talk about something that, well, I find this very interesting. I hope that you find it interesting, obviously. Huge shout out to John Owning of PFF, really of a lot of places. John Rules, a great friend of the show, great friend of Blog and the Boys, on Twitter at John Owning. It was actually on Twitter, twitter.com, that is. I don't know what other Twitter there would be, but on Twitter on Wednesday that John started a really interesting discussion. I don't know that it was really a debate, but definitely a discussion about Jason Witten, which is what we're here to talk about today because you read the title of the episode. What is Jason Witten's Hall of Fame candidacy look like? Because I think Jason Witten is a Hall of Famer, right? And his time will come, right? Jason Witten technically just spent his first year in retirement. You have to be retired for 5 consecutive years to be eligible for the Pro Football Hall of Fame. And obviously Witten unretired and came back and played the 2020 season with the Las Vegas Raiders. So last year was technically his first official year out. So we got 4 more to go before he's eligible for enshrinement in Canton, Ohio. Will he be a first ballot Hall of Famer? I don't think so. This subject kind of came back up again this week because of a different tight end who has now retired multiple times in Rob Gronkowski. It's my personal opinion that Gronk is the greatest tight end to ever live. I tweeted that out. Shout out to our friends at Pat's Pulpit, SB Nation's home for New England Patriots content. I think Gronk is the most talented tight end to ever live, play, however you want to put it. He's amazing. I mean, we've never seen anything like Gronk. I understand that Jason Witten was a different kind of tight end, and there's all sorts of tight ends that have played over the course of NFL history. But I think that when it comes to the idea, I want to be clear, I used to believe that Jason Witten was a first ballot Hall of Famer, right? I really did. And I don't know exactly what happened that my mindset on that kind of shifted. I think he will one day wear a gold jacket and have a bronze bust, but I think he will have to wait a little bit. And I think some of that is the politics involved with the Hall of Fame, but I wanted to kind of talk it out and flesh it out and sort of review his case. So currently, Jason Witten, by the way, we're going to be using a fantastic tool from Pro Football Reference that I'll explain in a bit. But currently, PFR has Jason Witten listed as having played more games than any other tight end in NFL history. He has Tony Gonzalez, a.k.a. Togo, one of my favorite nicknames, beat by 1 game. Now, Mercedes Lewis was actually in the news this week. Mercedes Lewis is currently sitting on 234 games. He has said that he wants to ultimately pass this mark or had some quote along those lines. So we'll see. Maybe Witten is dethroned there. But so that's number of games played. There's no question that Jason Witten's career is amazing given the overall time. And I think that that's true for a lot of great tight ends. When you look at Togo, you look at Antonio Gates, obviously Gronk's career is, I don't want to say way down. I mean, I think his career is, again, the best of any tight end all time. But if there's one thing you can say about Rob Gronkowski, it's that he didn't play forever, and he obviously retired, and he's missed a lot of time. But that makes, to me, his accomplishments all the more impressive. So if we look at tight ends in NFL history by way of receptions, Jason Witten ranks second. Tony Gonzalez is number one, 1,325. Jason Witten has 1,228. They're the only two tight ends in NFL history with over 1,000 catches. Again, I want to be very clear here that I do believe Jason Witten belongs in the Hall of Fame. Antonio Gates is third with 955. Shannon Sharp has 815. We're talking about now two players in the Hall of Fame with Tony Gonzalez and Shannon Sharp. Greg Olson, the current Fox number one analyst, is fifth with 742. Jimmy Graham, 713. Travis Kelce climbing up the ladder, has 704. Ozzie Newsome, 662. Zach Ertz, I think people don't necessarily pay a lot of attention to, 635. Rob Gronkowski, 621. And Heath Miller, longtime Pittsburgh Steelers tight end, 592. That's the cutoff that I'm stopping at, because that's what Pro Football Reference deems an average Hall of Fame tight end. This is such a great tool from PFR. You can just kind of play around with this. They have a metric that kind of calculates the overall career of different players. And is, you know, the metric is used. In fact, I'll just read their verbiage. That's where I got a little bit tongue-tied. This is a metric designed to estimate a player's chances of making the Pro Football Hall of Fame using AV, associated value, Pro Bowls, All-Pros, Championships, and various stat milestones. The players listed below that I'm looking at here are the top 250 Hall of Fame monitored rated players who played tight end starting in 1955 or later for at least 50 career games. A score of 100 is around the average modern era inductee. So not all of these players meet that criteria, but that is where the average Hall of Fame tight end kind of ends as far as receptions in NFL history. An average Hall of Fame tight end has 588 receptions, going off of PFR's math here. And so all of the players that I talked about have more than that. If we move to yards, and you know, I'll kind of clue you in on this range here. Tony Gonzalez has the most receiving yards of any tight end, has a little bit over 15,000. Jason Witten just north of 13,000. Antonio Gates almost hit 12,000, 11,841. Shannon Sharp barely hit 10,000. He has 10,060 career receiving yards. Rob Gronkowski just shy, 90, almost 300. Travis Kelce has 9,000. Again, fully expect him to hit 10,000 career receiving yards before it's all said and done, especially with Tyreek Hill now out of the fold there in Kansas City. Greg Olsen, again, I think we kind of sleep on Greg Olsen's career a little bit here. I think he's one of the best color analysts in the game. He was a fantastic player. Obviously, being a part of the Cam Newton Panthers teams really helped, but 8,000, almost 8,700 receiving yards. Jimmy Graham, 8,500. Ozzie Newsome, almost 8,000. Jackie Smith, I know, who is in the Hall of Fame along with Ozzie Newsome, by the way, just south of 8,000. The average Hall of Fame tight end has 7,656 receiving yards. Jason Witten has almost double that. I mean, has 13,000. If we move now to touchdowns, this is where a lot of tight ends have Witten. I say a lot, but some tight ends have Jason Witten beat. Antonio Gates, you might be stunned to know, it is not Tony Gonzalez who has the most receiving touchdowns in NFL history for a tight end. Antonio has 116. Shout out to anybody who had him on any fantasy team. It was always a lot of fun. Tony Gonzalez, the only other one in the Century Club, though, he has 111, so just behind Antonio. Gronk finished with 92, which is amazing. I mean, you really think about this. I mean, Antonio Gates played 190 games. Tony Gonzalez played 254. Antonio Gates played 236 games. I'm sorry, I know 190 was weird. 236 games for Antonio Gates, 270 games for Tony Gonzalez, only 143 games for Rob Gronkowski. That's just, again, what makes his career amazing. He almost played half as many games as Jason Witten. And so Gronk's third with 92 receiving touchdowns. Jimmy Graham has 85. Jason Witten is in fifth place with 74. Vernon Davis, who we have not mentioned yet, has 63. If we go all the way down, there are some tight ends that show up here. Dallas Clark gets in on the mix. The average Hall of Fame tight end has 52 receiving touchdowns. And so, you know, this is not exactly a position that is, you know, ripe with huge statistical numbers. Obviously, the NFL's become a larger passing, or the passing frequency has grown, is maybe proper English way to say that. But getting back to the tool I mentioned, the Pro Football Reference Hall of Fame Monitor, which is the metric here, the one that I read out, that a score of 100 is around the average modern era inductee. These are the only tight ends with a score of 100 or higher. Again, around 100 is your general Hall of Fame tight end. Tony Gonzalez has an HOFM of 195.43. I mean, like the most insane, just tight end career. Some of that is just the longevity of it. I mean, again, you know, played 270 games, 15,000 yards, 1,300 receptions, 111 touchdowns. I mean, his career is amazing. Shannon Sharp has a score of 114.25. So well below. It's Tony Gonzalez and then a massive gap. Shannon Sharp, I know that, you know, and third here, by the way, is Antonio Gates, a score of 113.63. Dave Casper has a score of 111.62. Rob Gronkowski has a score of 98.72, and I recognize that he is behind a lot of players in certain statistical categories, but if you took my contention, just very quickly as a tangent, if you took the prime versions of all these players, nobody's as good as Gronk. Nobody. That's my contention. But Jason Witten has a score of 104.72. For what it's worth, other Hall of Fame tight ends, Kellen Winslow is 96.36. Ozzie Newsome's 80.75. Travis Kelce's already at 86.40, by the way. Jackie Smith, 78.04. John Mackey, 76.52. Mike Ditka, shout out, 62.59. And Charlie Sanders, one of my favorite Hall of Fame speeches of all time, 61.58. So in so many senses, Jason Witten meets the criteria of being a Pro Football Hall of Famer, right? Like we can all recognize that. We can all look at his, you know, the longevity of his career, yards, receptions, touchdowns. He's a little bit lacking compared to everybody else. Where Witten, I think, is a little bit different, where he kind of separates himself, at least from the Tony Gonzalez, the Shannon Sharps, Antonio Gates, certainly Rob Gronkowski, Kellen Winslow, Travis Kelce even, as far as his playing days, an all-around tight end, right? Like your vintage classic tight end. These other tight ends are your more aerial, you know, wide receiver playing tight end, you know, just physical freak. Not to say that Witten wasn't a weapon in the passing game, but you get my point. And there's an obvious difference between him and the other sort of class of tight ends or version, variant of tight end. And so I think that will hurt him. I think that, you know, we've laid out the math here. I know that was you had to listen to me read a bunch of numbers here. Now we're just freewheeling. Now we're just talking. I think that there are some things that are going to hurt Jason Witten because of the way that the Pro Football Hall of Fame works. And I know I started by saying that I used to think he was a first ballot Hall of Famer, and I don't know when that changed. And maybe as I got older, maybe as we've seen more Hall of Fame classes go on, maybe that Darren Woods is still waiting. Maybe that DeMarcus Ware was denied entry in his first year of eligibility. I think that, you know, I had a conversation on Twitter with John Owning and Mike White, not the quarterback, great friend of Cowboys Twitter, at Not To Be Tried on Twitter. And I think that so much about the Hall of Fame is presentation, right? Is reputation. And I think that Jason Witten's reputation was hurt by unretiring. I said this at the time. If you think back to Jason Witten's first retirement, remember he had the parade through the star. I mean, it was like 1,000 people, you know, there to celebrate him. And it was a really kind of stressful, you know, emotional time for the Cowboys in the early days of 2018. They were coming off of a super, actually, if we rewind the clock a little bit, at the end of the 2016 season, when the Cowboys lost to Mike McCarthy's Packers, there was all the chatter about Witten then. Will he retire? There was chatter that Brandon Carr might retire, right? Remember before he left for the Baltimore Ravens. Came back for 2017, and that was such a bad year for the Cowboys, you know, finishing 9-7 and missing out on the playoffs, just Eagles winning the Super Bowl. It was just not a good vibe. And so Witten's retirement was so abrupt. It actually, I think we all just kind of like partly suppress what happened because it was so weird. He retires, he's going to Monday Night Football, and all of that happened at the same time that the Cowboys released Dez Bryant. So it was this like really emotionally charged era moment in Dallas Cowboys history, and certainly recent Cowboys history. And so Witten has this huge parade through the star. Jason Garrett, you know, chokes up when talking about the Y option and you know, then Dez Bryant because he had just been released. It was really, really emotional. And I've long said that if you cannot be the person who wins the Super Bowl. You want to be the person, as far as your legacy, who the team let down, all right? Because that smiles kinder on you as history grows and grows and grows and grows. And I don't mean this in any sort of negative way, but chances are you have gotten in a debate online or seen debates online surrounding Tony Romo, right? Let's just use him as one example. Tony Romo is regarded by many Dallas Cowboys fans, and in most ways, this is objectively sound, as the player who the team let down, right? Jerry let him down. Steven let him down. Jason Garrett let him down. Everybody let Tony Romo down. He was good enough, and all of that is true. So if you can't be the person who wins a Super Bowl, you want to be the team, as far as the protection of your legacy, who the team let down. And Jason Witten was in that camp. When he first retired in 2018, it was, man, this team wasted. Tony Romo and Jason Witten, they had these all-time careers. Jason Witten's going to go to the Hall of Fame. He's going to be first ballot. That's what RJ's saying. Blah, 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 blah. And the team let them down. The team didn't surround them with enough talent. The team didn't do enough. The team didn't make the right moves. The team let them down. Jason Witten retired. You know, again, you don't want to be that. You'd rather be the person who wins a lot of Super Bowls, of course. But he retired as part of that group. Then he unretired. And I'm glossing over, you know, the awful Monday Night Football experience. And I don't think that that should factor into his Hall of Fame candidacy by any, you know, stretch. But it does factor into people's perception of him, right? I do think that Jason Witten was regarded as this, like, you know, I don't know how non-Cowboys fans regarded him, but it wasn't the way that they regarded him once he became a color analyst, right? Like, he really, you know, he lost a lot of whatever favor he had in people's minds, or like, the, you know, he was the guy who was a bit of a klutz in the booth. And so, okay, so he gets past that, right? You know, and he comes back, and now you're really putting yourself in jeopardy if you're the person who comes back. And Gronk is the opposite example, and that really hurts as Cowboys fans, because Gronk comes back, and by the way, he had won Super Bowls already, but Gronk comes out of retirement and boom, wins the Super Bowl, catches a touchdown in the Super Bowl. Like, Gronk comes back and shows and flexes, like, I still got it. I'm a big reason why my team is winning Super Bowls. Jason Witten shows up for one last season with the Cowboys in 2019. It's like, okay, you're coming out of the booth. You know, what's this even going to look like here? And it was all this talk about, I'm not going to get in the way, you know, whatever, only for him to come in and basically be the starter. So this kind of, you know, puts off these maybe not bad but maybe awkward vibes, and that noise Bear is now wanting to get super comfortable on the couch. Thank you, Bear. That was the season we got Bear. Maybe that's what this is. We got you in 2019, buddy. I know. But so you come back, Jason Witten, and that's a really awkward season for the Cowboys, right? Like, that's a super awkward, clunky season, and not just an awkward and clunky season, but it's the season that leads to Jason Garrett not, you know, you can't call it being fired because of the way the Cowboys handled it, but not being brought back, whatever. And so all of that really kind of, I don't think worsened, but, you know, it took some of the shine off of the way he first left. And so then it's, okay, well, you came back. Thank you, Bear, again, for getting all loud. You come back, you do all this, et cetera, et cetera. Now the Cowboys are bringing in a new coach. They're bringing in Mike McCarthy, Dez Caught It, 3rd-and-20, Jared Cook, on and on and on, and they don't even want you back. You know, like, I think that that hurt the presentation of Jason Witten's career. So he goes to the Raiders, and that team is whatever. I mean, it was an awkward end. I think that basically everything from 2017 on really impacted Jason Witten's recent legacy, and those things matter. That's, it's dumb, but that's the way the Pro Football Hall of Fame works. And if you don't believe me, just consider that Darren Woodson and DeMarcus Ware are not in it. And so I do think that Jason Witten will get into the Pro Football Hall of Fame at some point. He deserves to be in there, but I don't think it'll be first ballot. I think people are going, there is a tax that you could argue DeMarcus Ware is already experiencing, but that current Cowboys of the most of the, I don't know, last 20 years are going to have to pay. And by that, I mean, people, voters are going to look at them and say, and it's a team game, so don't come at me, but people are going to look at Jason Witten and say, he never even played on a team that went to the NFC Championship game, right? Like, you know, he never even played on a team that, you know, that didn't collapse. That's part of it. And, you know, again, Witten is very deserving of being in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. But the political elements that go into all this, I think, really hold things back a little bit. And beyond all of that, I think that we're a little bit rosier as Cowboys fans on his career than other people. I mean, and that's a hard thing to admit, but he was not the same sort of weapon. And I know that his career statistics sort of counter this idea, but he was not the same sort of weapon as these other tight ends. He has the career longevity, which certainly speaks to how great he was. And again, he has a rightful place in the Pro Football Hall of Fame, but I do think he's going to have to wait a little bit. It's just, it's a weird thing. It doesn't help him, again, that Rob Gronkowski has basically half of the career that he does and retired, you know, twice just like him and you know, has all these other accolades that Witten doesn't. That's unfortunate. And I do think that Witten is still a player who the Cowboys let down, just like Tony Romo and DeMarcus Ware. We could name so many players. I mean, you know, I don't even have the time to name all these players. Dez Bryant, Dan Bailey, you could argue Tyron Smith and, you know, Zach Martin. I mean, Brady James. Like, we could go forever. But I think he'll get in, but I think it'll take some time because sometimes that's the way the Pro Football Hall of Fame goes. So yeah, thanks for hanging out with me. I had fun. I hope you did too. Shout out once again to John Owning who inspired this idea. We got new episodes, a new episode of Riled Up coming your way later on today with Roy White and Tom Ryle. Tomorrow, new episodes of Girls Talking Boys with Kelsey Charles and Meg Murray, as well as a new episode of The Star Seminar with Danny Phantom and Rabble Rouser. On Saturday, un nuevo episodio de Cowboys Hoy con Mauricio Rodriguez. And by the way, I believe Mauricio interviewed Isaac Alarcón. So really looking forward to checking that out myself. Go check him out on Twitter at Mau, MAUNFL, to see that. I believe it's in Spanish, but still very much worth your time. On Sunday, new episode of The World's Team with Meg Murray and Paul Stewart. So yeah, we're looking forward to training camp around here. With all that being said, I hope you have the greatest Thursday of all time. I hope you have the best Thursday ever. You know why? Because you deserve it. We will see you mañana, my friends. As always, go Cowboys and peace out.